everyone. Welcome to episode 8 of Marketer Pitch, the news and trends podcast from a Vantage Black and Brown perspective. I'm Yesenia Reynoso, one half of the co-hosting team, and to my opposite end is the other half of the squad, co-host and friend, Corey Davis.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? Welcome back. I hope that you guys listened to our Super Bowl extravaganza episode, last episode, and I'm glad you guys are back with us for this episode.
Yes, absolutely, Corey. We're back as the second half of season one is underway. For those who didn't get the chance to listen to our last episode, Volume 7, the Super Bowl extravaganza, we announced that Marketer Pitch will now be under a TV series schedule where we will do a certain number of episodes per season. For season one, we will do 12 episodes and we'll return with a second season later in the year. More details about the end of this season and season two will be revealed down the road. Corey, I think it's safe to say we have a mindset of a Netflix series.
Yes, we do. And considering how much I watch Netflix and HBO Max and Hulu, it's just fitting that our podcast follows suit.
I mean, they have become our inspiration. You can't say no to either one of those streaming services. So thank you, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Amazon, Roku, and everyone else who has decided to follow in their footsteps.
Yes.
Well, also, to catch up on all episodes and be part of the Marketer Pitch atmosphere, this podcast is available on all main podcasting mediums, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, iHeartRadio, and many more. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. All opinions are welcome.
Yes, all opinions. And if you have any feedback for us or any topics you think you guys want us to cover, feel free to also email us and give us your opinion. We're very receptive.
We can't say no to opinions, so please bring them in.
I mean, we can say no, but we won't.
Bring them in. We want to hear from you. Flow our inboxes. Even leave a review for us. We definitely want to hear from you. All are welcome. All right, my friend. This is one of the coolest dates of the calendar year. Can you guess what it is?
No, I can't. Is it Valentine's Day? I know it's Valentine's Day. We just had that. So does President's Day? No, you tell me.
Well, I know Valentine's Day is right up the corner, so we'll deal with that a little bit later. But I'm talking about Chinese New Year. Happy Chinese Lunar New Year to all of our viewers.
Yeah.
2021 is the year of the ox on the Chinese zodiac calendar. So in spirit of the celebration, buddy, what is your Chinese sign?
Yes. How can I forget? Happy Chinese New Year, everyone. Last year, actually, was my first time going to a Chinese New Year parade, an actual life parade. That's when life was normal, right before quarantine and COVID happened, which, you know, looking back, we probably should have been quarantining during last February. Last year was the first time celebrating Chinese New Year and actual celebration. And this year, I'm going to celebrate it as well. I have some Chinese food just to nod myself. And I'm not sure what you do for the yak. So if everyone can just email me about what do you do for the year of the ox, I'm receptive to following suit. But my sign is a snake. So it's been, ooh, yeah, it's kind of weird because a snake just sounds, you know, very deceptive and slithery and not good, but I like it. What about you? What is your symbol?
Before I reveal my Chinese sign, they said that this year, the year of the ox is going to be lucky and perfect for relationships. So take it with a grain of salt, everyone. So this could be good signs for everybody moving forward. I'm typically the kind of person that is very much intrigued when it comes to Chinese zodiac signs because I think they're so mystical about them, especially with their history. So as for my Chinese sign, I'm a dragon. So
that's the cool one.
By far, it is the most revered creature in all of the Chinese culture. So people that are born under the year of dragon have hearts full of adventure and romance. But also at the same time, it's pretty hard for people to understand a dragon's mysterious personality. So in some ways, I think, you know, personally, you can't say no to a dragon because in Chinese culture, they are basically viewed like royalty. So they're like the strongest, most paired with like with the phoenix representing royalty. They symbolize, you know, like from ranging from a happy marriage to harmony between yin and yang. So there's a lot of cool backtrack, you know, as to, you know, how dragons are viewed. And it's an earth sign, too. And I'm a Virgo in the regular horoscopes calendar. So Virgo is also an earth sign. So in some ways, having an earth Chinese zodiac sign and a horoscope sign kind of works out perfectly for me.
Wow, it's very interesting. I have to download with you on just because I'm loosely interested in the horoscopes and the meanings behind these things. So I'll have to download with you at another time, just on just general horoscope and what mine means.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool history and mystery, you know, surrounds each zodiac sign because they're all different in various ways. So on top of that, I have probably some of the coolest memories with Chinese New Year. My dad used to work in Chinatown, in downtown NYC during my childhood years. And I remember former clients, offering my dad and his team red envelopes filled with cash as a sign of prosperity. And he used to come home with boatloads of those envelopes. It was literally Christmas in my household. I ended up with some money during that time. So it was awesome.
Oh, that's amazing. Yep. I did hear about that, the red envelopes and receiving money. That's probably the only reason why I want to celebrate Chinese New Year. It's just so I can get plenty of red envelopes.
Cha-ching.
but can I say last year, 2020 was the year of the rat. And I know probably in Chinese culture, I know the rat probably means like very goodwill things, and I'm not sure. But in American culture, the year of the rat is not a good sign. And I would say 2020 was definitely a year of the rat, at least for me, looking back of everything that happened.
Well, I think it kind of was deemed appropriate that the year of the rat turned out to be one of the worst years, you know, for everybody. So technically speaking, I mean, no offense to the rat, I think it was kind of symbolic. But we're now in 2021. Is the year of the ox, strength, brute force, prosperity, luck. So let's look at it from that side of the spectrum.
Awesome.
So, yes. So on top of Chinese New Year, we got Valentine's Day, which is coming up this February 14th, the time brands go into lover's mode. This year, we see a lot of self-care promo, even a new word, galentine, which I did not know until a month ago.
Really?
Corey. Yes. So please don't laugh at me. My female friends are already thinking that that it's too hilarious.
So I knew about Galentine's Day for quite a while. I'd probably say even 5 or 6 years. That's just because of which I'm not sure if this is where Galentine's came from or did they adopt it early on, but I'm a huge Parks and Recreation fan. The show that aired on NBC, I think from like the mid, you know, 2008 to like 2015 or 16. And on that show, one of the lead characters, Amy Knope, she created a Galentine's Day celebration, which was a celebration where her and her girlfriend to go out and just celebrate being friends and being, you know, not necessarily doesn't have to be in a relationship, can just be friends and enjoying each other's company. And each year they had a Galentine's Day celebration. So I knew about Galentine's Day from that show. And yeah, I'm not sure if I thought the idea of Galentine's Day came from that show, but yeah, that concept I did know about. And I'm kind of jealous because we don't have a Galentine's Day.
For a guy that knows more about Galentine's Day than moi, a girl who barely even know the word until just about a month ago, I'm gonna hit up with you later and you can further educate me on the subject. I care more about self-care, self-love promo types for Valentine's Day has been with every year, unless if a special someone enters into my life. But it doesn't matter how you celebrate your Valentine's Day, everyone. I hope everyone enjoys it. It's Lover's Day, so love yourself, love your partner. Even participate in Galentine's, doesn't matter. I hope everyone enjoys Valentine's Day, which is up around the corner.
Yeah, and I'm assuming by a lot of times people will start listening to this episode, get Valentine's Day would have passed. So hope everyone had a Valentine's Day if you listen to this episode after Valentine's Day, and hope it was very special for you. Because even if you're in a relationship or if you're not in a relationship, just feeling the love in that we're all alive and we're healthy in 2021, that's celebration enough.
Thank you, my friend, for emphasizing that point. And with that, it is time for us to dive into the show. We got double news headlines of the week and the return of our respective ad chats and bulletin board segments. So let's get started. First up is headline number one of the news headline of the week. Super Bowl viewership drops to multi-decade low for the NFL, the most streamed game ever by deadline. Figures released Tuesday morning by CBS Sports, the big game had a total audience of 96.4 million viewers on CBS and a bundle of platforms and outlets, according to Nielsen, confirming suspicions that many had even going into the matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the least watched Super Bowl in recent history. So now that we're following up on our Super Bowl extravaganza episode, Corey, thoughts?
I'm actually a little surprised just because I figured viewership would have been up, maybe not the highest ever, but I thought viewership would have been up just because of more people are at home because of the quarantine, because of their last weekend, Super Bowl weekend, there were big winter storms across the whole country. There are certain cities that are actually snowed in with feet of snow where they couldn't leave their home, big cities. So between the weather, between just being quarantined, I assume that more people would be home watching the Super Bowl because it's the biggest event. So the fact that it's one of the lowest in a few decades, to me, is very shocking. I don't know what's the reason behind it. I don't know if people have Tom Brady fatigue and are not interested in watching that. Do people have NFL fatigue? We all know that the NFL's ratings have been going down over the past two or three years. This year was no different. Some people attributed that to just the politicized nature of kneeling for the flag, or some people could criticize that for the NFL's non-response and criticism to players who do want to kneel for the flag. So it's just interesting to figure out why the NFL is going down. And this is just a big trend going to next year. The NFL has to look at what's the reason for the ratings evaporation. Is it that more people are less interested in watching the games, or are people just not interested in sports? NFL is also not immune. Not the only sports that has lower ratings. The NBA championship that was held in the bubble back in September, that had the lowest ratings ever for an NBA final championship, MLB as well, and also the NHL. So all sports leagues are seeing evaporated ratings. And I'm very curious to see what's going to be done to kind of put a button to stop the negative flow from ratings.
Well, you have to look at this from two sides of the spectrum. First, 91.6 million. Again, 91.6 million on CBS alone. The 2021 Super Bowl was still the most watched show of the past year. Most Super Bowls, especially over the last several years, was over 100 million. You also have to see that Super Bowl 55 was also the most live-streamed game in history, averaging 5.7 million viewers per minute. So it went up from 2020's previous statistic. So we already know that live streaming is cementing its mark in its own way, one of the 2021 trends, which is already shaping up to be that way. But are we seeing the beginning of decline in the NFL? The hard armor has been hit. The reality is there is no surprise when you look at it from all different sides of the spectrum. Despite the technical and cultural efforts to make the COVID-19 restrictions of the game a non-event, you know, the truth of the matter is that the action on the field was just not as dramatic or hyper that many experts, sports analysis, as well as, you know, advertisers and programmers were anticipating. Obviously, the two less than top market teams participated. That was, you know, a contributing factor. Many people decided to click elsewhere. And it became more evident as the game progressed, due to the score, that the game was simply flat out boring. It became a blowout. Everybody was perhaps maybe itching for that, again, that big goat versus little goat, a much more closer game. Turned out not to be the way that it was, when it was first, anticipated. But despite the, you know, the best efforts, you know, the NFL did have a 10% drop in ratings on average this season after 2 years of increases. A fall, which you can't help but wonder if there's a combination between the COVID-19 pandemic, its safety protocols, as well as cultural and racial justice, and a schedule that sometimes, you know, went completely off the rails due to players testing positive during the season. And as you mentioned, Corey, other sports leagues have also taken a hit in terms of ratings. So this is going to be pretty interesting to see, you know, if the decline further continues through all those combinations, or this is simply just a one blip in the radar.
Yes, and I do want to add that for a footnote, if people are interested, the highest Super Bowl ever was 6 years ago, and that was the 2015 Super Bowl with Tom Brady was in there as New England Patriots versus Seattle, and that notched nearly 115 million viewers. So to go from 115 million viewers six years ago to 96 million viewers, that's a pretty big drop within 6 years.
Yep, and again, we're going to have to take a look and see if it's just a one blip or if this is a sign of a decline coming. Onward to the second news headline of the week from Pitchfork. Bruce Springsteen's Jeep ad pulled from YouTube after reports of a DWI arrest. So Bruce Springsteen was arrested in November and charged with driving while intoxicated, reckless driving, and consuming alcohol in a closed area. Corey, you talked about this in your ad chat last episode. An update on that story.
So the hit that keeps on getting. I as everyone who listened to episode 7, I turned in my favorite ad of the Super Bowl to my most hated ad of the Super Bowl, probably my most hated ad of all time. Keeps on giving. As everyone has known, Bruce Springsteen was arrested back in November for DWI, which is ironic that he was driving a Jeep in a Super Bowl ad. And also an event where a lot of people do drink and drive, that he was the focal point of the commercial driving. But neither here nor there. It's just another misstep with Jeep. Jeep thought that they were going to create this very big discussion point for all of the country. This country will come together and discuss coming to the middle, like the ad said, and hopefully Jeep will sell also more Jeeps. And now with this Bruce Springsteen investigation, to me, I want to see a deeper dive into how much did Jeep know. I find it very strange that right after this commercial was pretty much universally panned, a lot of people shared my opinion that this news came out. We all know that Bruce Springsteen was arrested almost 3 months ago for DWI. How come 2 or 3 days after the Super Bowl, when he was driving a Jeep, did this news come out? Did Jeep happen to know that Bruce Springsteen was arrested before the ad aired? I tend to believe so. I find it hard to believe that Bruce Springsteen wouldn't reveal this to the makers of Jeep. So that means that Jeep wanted to go forward with the ad because they cared more about selling Jeeps and more about their brand than doing what's right. And that should have been pulling Bruce Springsteen from the ad and not having an ad in general. So these companies need to realize that they're on alert. When they do things that are foul, when they do things that are not right, there's going to be people out there immediately between Twitter, Instagram, and all the rest of social media to call them out on their BS. So for me, I feel like Jeep is definitely in the doghouse this week between the commercial and also between their inaction of not pulling this ad, because they had to know that Bruce Springsteen was arrested for a DWI 3 months ago.
Well, it's been well chronicled that Bruce Springsteen has created some enemies in the past due to his political views, obviously due to the very toxic environment we're living in a country right now. We all have a different opinion, but currently, if you think one way versus somebody else thinks the other, and if your viewpoint is different from others, then you basically become an enemy, which is aberrant. But I do agree with you from the standpoint that G should have already known about Bruce Springsteen's DWI. And there was reports that Bruce Springsteen actually drank two shots of tequila and was actually under the legal limit. So again, there could be some bias, when the on behalf of law enforcement, when they decided to move in and arrest Springsteen. Again, we don't the details of the story are still coming out, so we don't want to jump into conclusions. But if you want to look at this from a PR perspective, Jeep should have never put that ad up in the first place, if they knew that they were going to get some sort of negative reaction. So on top of, from a reputation and crisis management standpoint, they took a big hit, and it shows that, just like every other brand, we're now living in a woke culture, or society where it is of the uttermost importance for brands to be literally in the heartbeat as to how all of these issues are being addressed. And also, you need to have a better mindset, as to the people who you're bringing into these ads, and do much better research, as to whether or not these individuals that you're bringing in to represent you have any skeletons in the closet. And if they do, the brands have to be on top of it 100% to ensure that any messaging or storytelling that comes out of it does not reflect in a negative stance. And Jeep should have known better than
That's a
that.
good point. And I'll just end on this note. Jeep spent $6 million for a 30-second ad just to deal with controversy. So they spent $6 million to have a PR nightmare. Very, very, very interesting.
And we'll leave it off with that point, my friend. So we wrap up the double news headlines on the week, and then we move forward to Corey's ad chat, where my good friend Corey Davis talks about a specific topic within the advertising marketing industry that caught that made head waves. So Corey, take it
Oh, so
away.
formal, Corey Davis. I feel like you're my teacher when you said that.
I'll try to be a little bit less
No, it's no worries. It's no
informal, my
worries. I like that.
friend.
So, hello, everyone. My ad chat for this week comes to us from Threadless.com, who has an article titled "Wendy's is on a brutal roasting spree and everyone's getting burned." So the story went viral over the past few days. Not the story in Threadless, but what Wendy's actually did has been going viral over the past few days. So the story is about a holiday that just happened last week. Not Valentine's Day, not Chinese New Year, what we talked about, but National Roast Day, which fell on Thursday, February the 11th. What is National Roast Day, you may ask? Did you know what National Roast Day was, Yesenia? You didn't know Valentine's Day till a month ago. Did you find out National Roast Day a month ago?
Oh my God. I have a better idea as to what National Roast Day was
So
all
you knew
about.
that,
I
you
think
just didn't
when
know Valentine's Day.
Yes, because I knew Wendy started that 3 years ago, where they basically decided to roast anybody and everyone's. But I'll let you further elaborate
Yeah,
on that.
so you brought up a good point. We're like tag team in my ad chat. So the holiday created in 2018, Wendy's decided to use their talent for good by creating hashtag National Roast Day, which is everyone's favorite made-up social media holiday, where the Wendy's account on Twitter fires off as many roasts as possible in a 24-hour period. So they took a break last year, and after a 1 year hiatus, it returned last Thursday, the February of the 11th. So everyone's known that over the past few years, Wendy's social media feed has had a strong history of going viral with their roast, calling out competitors like McDonald's, getting into online fight with the Burger King. It's comedy tweets or Instagram posts that has made the brand more popular online than honestly probably in stores. I would say if Wendy's got as many retweets as they did people buying of hamburgers, Wendy's would be bigger than McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. So since 2017, the brand has created a persona on social media that's engaging, highly clever, and at times laugh out loud funny. So last Thursday, the 11th, the National Roast Day was no different. Wendy started the day by asking people to tweet them for a roast. Soon enough, thousands upon thousands of people and other brands and slash competitors lined up for a good roasting by Wendy herself. So I'm going to read you guys a few of the roasts that made me kind of laugh. One of them, cheese brand Velveeta, everyone knows Velveeta cheese, wanted a roast, and Wendy's replied back with, how are you a verified account when you're not even a verified cheese? Also, Raisin Brand, Sunmade, which everyone knows is probably one of the biggest raisin brands out there. They wanted a roast, and they asked Wendy, and she replied back, please stop ruining cookies. Frozen Food Company, Bagel Bites, wanted a roast, and Wendy's replied back, I agree with this 100%. Even Papa John wouldn't eat 40 of you in 30 days. And finally, Lionsgate wanted a roast. Everyone knows Lionsgate, the production movie company, and Wendy's went pushing the edge and replied back with a tweet saying, we'd give you a hand, but one of your former actors might eat it. Of course, this is referencing the Army Hammer drama, who is a star in one of Lionsgate's movies, and he's being accused of being a cannibal. On my 2021 prediction list, I would not think that we're talking about an actor being a cannibal as a real thing. That's insane. That's insane. So there are plenty more brands signing up for the roast, including Oreo, which Wendy said, please, no more flavors. Microsoft Bing, which obviously made Bing a secondary to Google joke. T-Mobile, which talked about T-Mobile's terrible customer service. Wheat Thins, and a lot more. So I'll ask all of you just to take a second of your day, if you haven't, to go on Twitter, Wendy's account, and just read the funny tweets. She not only did other brands and competitors, but there were some pretty brutal ones for just everyday adults asking to be roasted. So now, before I finish and get Yesenia a little bit into the conversation, I want to warn brands that what Wendy is doing is coming off as authentic, relatable, and cool. But this level of social media interactions with the public can easily go left and have the brands issuing an apology on Twitter for offending the wrong person or coming off as very tone deaf that makes people not buy their products. So take it back to the Super Bowl. Wendy is a Tom Brady of social media for brands. Perfect, does everything right, goes for the jugular, makes sure lands every joke. And other brands should not expect that they can easily do the same. Just because you have a social media account, you don't expect you can be the Tom Brady of social media. So while I'm laughing at the Wendy's tweet and the brand has received massive press, my advice coming out of this for other company is to keep it generic and basic and just tweet about your products. Now, Yesenia, what are your thoughts on Wendy's National Roast Day? Do you like this kind of interaction from brands?
This is way too funny. I'm so sorry. I just kept laughing at all of those roasts that Wendy's did to every single one of those brands. I even laughed when the Tampa Bay Rays got roasted by Wendy's.
Yes, that was a good one.
And the Tampa Bay Rays social team is one of the funniest in MLB. So I love it. This is such a cool, fun social branding and getting other brands publicity at their roasting expense. Everyone wins. At this time, we could use a good laugh once in a while for what is what Wendy's wanted to provide. So cheers to the social media team for pulling this off. They are by far the all-stars, for this campaign. It has made Wendy's even more popular than ever than their chicken McNuggets or their single hamburger. It really have garnered a life of its own. Again, we talked about how PR shapes narratives, and Wendy's is showcasing another side to its audience that people can relate to. We could use a roast once in a while. Why not brands to do it? You know, just be ready if you do decide to get roasted. Please don't take it personally. That's the only concern I could bring to the table. And you echo this yourself, Corey, in your chat. People and companies may not find it funny. They could see it as tone deaf. And unless if you have a funny side, best to stay out of Wendy's path. But more importantly, you don't want your reputation to take a hit if it does head into the opposite direction. Because if it is, then you're going to have to deal with damage control.
Agree. And I'm done.
All right, fabulous. Well, thank you, Corey, for such a thrilling Wendy's related edition of your ad chat. So if anyone has any questions or suggestions, Corey, final thoughts before I kick it into the next segment. No. Okay. So, if you have again, if you have any questions or comments, and want to comment on Corey's ad chat, log on to email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com.
Yep.
All
On to
right.
your segment.
Thank you, my friend. And so we now move on to my PR bulletin board, where we discuss a particular topic within the public relations industry that captured my attention. And so for this bulletin board, I wanted to first and foremost give a shout out to my career coach, who sent me this article days ago, and upon reading it, turned out to be the perfect theme for this week's segment. By now, everyone knows the Robinhood GameStop stock fiasco. Wall Street drove into chaos. But what about the brands themselves? Did they suffer a brand hit? Oh yeah, a big fat yes. Just look at Robinhood. They basically committed communication suicide by not taking appropriate action in real time. Forbes' article, Robinhood shoots itself in the foot with arrows. If only if it had a crisis communications plan, details what I've been stating in previous episodes about the need for a corporate and crisis comms plan. For those who need a refresher, please listen to episodes 3 and 4 of my bulletin board segments about crisis and corporate communications. As you can see, Robinhood learned a costly lesson. Your name and reputation, along with any type of communications failure, can bring continuous black eyes. And within a few days, Robinhood, which promoted itself as the quote-unquote democratization of stock trading, went from being hailed for providing a services that benefited every single one of its users to becoming a laughing stock in the financial world. Without having an effective communications plan in place, the company was basically forced to stand by and watch what may have been the world's fastest unraveling of a singular brand promise. By the time it was over, it was dust. Like how Thanos in Avengers Endgame became dust after Tony Stark's Iron Man snapped his fingers with the Infinity Stones, causing his eventual demise. Not going to get into the financial story as I cannot speak stock, but I can speak PR. When you promise something to your customers, you better be damn sure you deliver in an authentic manner. When a crisis strikes, time is of the essence. You need to get ahead with actual facts. Robinhood didn't do that. Instead, they hid in the leaves and watched their precious reputation and brand message slip through the fingers. They didn't even fix the problem. They did not want to educate their users on the proper use of the app. They threw their customers under the bus to protect their investors. The result? Hypocrisy, disenchantment, and disaffection. Beyond that, a proper and timely response requires a pre-existing process to deal with such disasters. Be ahead of the curve. People will forgive you if you're just being honest with them. If you lie and blame others for your lack of accountability, people will never trust you again. Your credibility, from both a reputation and financial standpoint, will get hit, and in some cases, never recover. Robinhood tried to pick up the pieces, but it was too little, too late. The lesson? Have an emergency crisis communications plan plus contingencies. You'll never know when a crisis appears. To cap it off, I will leave you with a quote as Eric Yavrebrom, I hope I said his last name right, CEO of Enrico Communications stated, "Communications is a game of minutes. Every minute that comes between the crisis and your response is a bad minute, and it stays for a very long time." Corey, thoughts?
So I was in the midst of this. I've had a Robinhood account for probably since 2018. And up until the past few weeks, I've had great luck with using the account. I recommended people. I will side note, if anybody wants a free stock, please let me know because I will give you that free stock if you use my account. This is not a Robinhood ad, but if you use my referral, you can get a free stock and I'll get a free stock. But beyond that, I've recommended Robinhood to plenty of family and friends, and I've used it, and they've been pretty good. The whole premise, which I signed up for 3 years ago, was, as the name implies, Robinhood. It was a way for me to not be intimidated working with a broker or working with some of the big stock guys on Wall Street, as me as an individual who doesn't have millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to trade in the stock market. For me to start small and to learn and increase my literacy with the stock market, with the hopes that if other small contributors such as myself and you and our listeners will also do this, we can completely change the stock market and change the financial world as we know it. That's the whole premise of Robinhood, and that's why I was very happy to be a part of them. Their actions the past few weeks was terrible. Very, 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 very terrible communication. And for me, like you hinted, what they did couldn't be resolved with great communication. Their problem was their PR communication was pretty much non-existent. So it allowed the naysayers, it allowed some of the issues that people were saying that Robinhood was doing, like stealing from individuals and not allowing people to buy GameStop. It allowed them and that kind of messaging to take over what Robinhood was actually trying to explain. Robinhood did explain. I got a couple of emails from them a few days after, but by then it was too little too late. I found other resources that I can also do the same thing, like Cash App, and I know TD Ameritrade, they're the same level, where I moved some of my money to different platforms. So Robinhood, I unfortunately don't think there is no coming back. I know they had an ad in the Super Bowl to kind of really just explain their background, explain where they're coming from. But for me, as a consumer of Robinhood for the past 3 years, I was very disappointed. And this is all could have been solved if they already had a great communication plan.
Wow, Corey, that is beyond impressive because I agree with you on all accounts. All I can say is this, brands and companies, if you don't want your wallets to be hit hard, be prepared. Also, no point in lying if your image gets tarnished along with your reputation. We all make mistakes, but it's best to admit accountability and lessons learned. People will humanize with you and stay by you as long as you are transparent from beginning to end. And unfortunately for Robinhood, they did not get the message in time. And with that, that is the end of my bulletin board. If you have any comments or questions about Robinhood and their lack of response, email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. And with that, that wraps up episode 8. Corey, final thoughts?
No. I'm very happy that everyone's still listening to our show. This has been a very, very fun program to record. And I got streaming and Netflix on my brain when I said earlier in the episode that we're the same. But no, this has been a very fun episode to record. And I just thank everyone for listening. I really do appreciate just hearing any kind of feedback and hearing any kind of advice. But just thank everyone.
All right, my friend and everyone. Now, I know in episode 7, we mentioned discussion about meditation. Well, tune into episode 9 because that is in fact happening. So giving everyone a little sneak peek as to what's coming up. But either way, thanks to everyone for tuning in. Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com to comment on today's show. Listen to all 8 volumes on major podcasting mediums. Share, like, comment, subscribe, and even leave a review. And we'll see you next time for episode 9. Take care.
Bye.